If you were here 4 years ago, you might remember that I gave a hypothetical that involved tainted Safeway ibuprofen that I bought in California and then brought to Texas, and I took it in Texas. I got sick in Texas. And so what I was trying to show is, you know, do we have any questions, any answers to the questions of whether Safeway can be sued in Texas under that scenario? Safeway is the same thing as Randall's. Well, I am at least changing hypotheticals. Now it's a car crash. If you can change the slide, please. But this is a hypothetical that is an official advanced unsettled question. So the Supreme Court of the United States granted cert in two cases that raise this exact same fact situation. One is a Montana case against Ford, and the other one is a Minnesota case against Ford. We're going to pretend like it's Texas just because that's where we are. But so these really raise the same questions as I raised in my tainted ibuprofen hypothetical. So I've been using that hypothetical for years and years, and even used it as an exam question 1 year. But we're still faced with it, and we don't have an answer, but perhaps we'll have an answer when the Supreme Court decides the case. So let's assume that I represent a Texas resident who bought a used Ford. The car was originally sold by Ford outside of Texas, but it somehow got to Texas, and it's owned by a Texan who was in a horrible accident. And we have products liability claims filed in Texas. The accident occurred in Texas. It was not designed, manufactured, assembled, or originally sold in Texas. The accident occurred in Texas. Ford has lots of dealerships in Texas and service centers in Texas. It advertises a lot in Texas. In fact, it even has an ad campaign where it says, "Fords are built Texas tough." So I think we could say that they direct their marketing efforts to Texas. Ford is registered to do business in Texas. Does a Texas court have personal jurisdiction over Ford in Texas in this case? This should be an easy answer. Yes, this is the kind of thing that happens a lot. This comes up in lots of different cases. But no, this is an advanced, unsettled question, and it remains that way. So let's look first at general jurisdiction, and if you'll change the slide for me. And this is the easy part. This is what has changed dramatically since 2011. It's what's this is the big C change. So if you aren't familiar with this, you need to read these cases because this is essential. Since 2011, general or all-purpose jurisdiction is available only in the states where the defendant is at home. And at home means that the defendant either resides or has its principal place of business in Texas, or where it is incorporated. So these cases are Goodyear, Daimler, BNSF. The United States Supreme Court has made very clear that this is the law now, general jurisdiction. No more of that continuous and systematics contacts analysis. There is another possible way to get general jurisdiction, and that is where a defendant is physically served with process. That's the Burnham case that was decided way back in 1990. So there a defendant was personally served in California, and the court found general jurisdiction there. It's a little bit of an outlier of a case, but it depends upon state sovereignty and traditional notions of jurisdiction, which the court talks about a lot now. So it may be significant today. We're not really sure. Ford is clearly not at home in Texas. It's at home in Michigan, where its principal place of business is. It perhaps Delaware or wherever it is incorporated. So the unsettled question here is whether Ford is subject to general jurisdiction because it was served here. It was served in Texas because it has an appointed agent for service of process that's required to appoint when it is registered to do business in Texas. And so the registration statutes might provide a consent theory by registering, you've consented to general jurisdiction in Texas, or the service, the Burnham theory, that you have been, that you are served in Texas.